Trusting enough to tithe. Judges chapter 7, verse 9 through 22 doesn't appear to have anything to do at all with finances, does it? I read of a story of a preacher who once asked one of his church members to serve as a financial chairman of his church. The man was a manager of a grain elevator, and he agreed to do so only on two conditions. He said, "I'd be glad to do that, but I have two conditions. Number one, I don't want any reporting. I don't want to give any report until the end of the year. I don't want to have any reports until the end of the year. And no one can ask me any questions during the year. Now, if you'll let me do that, no reporting all year long, and no one asking me any questions all year long, I'll do it. I'll become the chairman of the financial committee. I'll do it." They said, "Okay, that'll be fine." At the end of the year, he made his report to the entire church, to the pastor in the church, and he said, "I'd like to have you know, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of this year, I have paid off $200,000 of our debt here at the church. We have redecorated and remodeled the church, as you know, and spent about $50,000. That's paid for. I have sent several thousands of dollars to the mission field. I have also acquired $5,000 that's in the bank in our general fund, and we have that much money left over." The preacher looked at him and the whole church and said, "How in the world did you do that?" He said, "Well, you know, you people bring your grain to my elevator. And as you did business with me, I simply withheld 10% of your earnings and gave it to the church. And you never missed it." Amen. Christine, maybe we ought to try something like that, huh? The foundations of stewardship. This sermon's about money. Don't go, "Oh me," or anything like that. This is about money. It is. It's time to preach about money a little bit. We are getting ready for school to start. And I have some good news for you. We've made some pleas for some folks to help students who cannot come to the Christian school. And I was given an email today from a family who said, "Pastor, you can count on us. I want to pay a student's way there. And I got a check for $2,000 I'm going to give you this weekend." Isn't that wonderful? And another fellow has given us $1,000. And so it's happening. And if you'd like to get in on God's blessing, this is how you do it. You unlock your pocketbooks and just give to God, and God will bless you. I'll guarantee it'll happen. The foundations of stewardship go like this, though. Lordship, trust, and God's provision. I love, personally, talking about money, money management, getting monies together, helping to set up budgets. I love doing all that. I have for literally years. I love it in my own life. I love it for the church. I love it for the school. I love it for the radio station. The definition of a steward is very important. The definition is really a key. If we do not consider ourselves, now listen closely, if we do not consider ourselves stewards of the kingdom of God, we are going to have problems with lordship, and we are going to have big problems when it comes to the area of tithing. Well, what is indeed the definition of a steward? It's right there on the screen. Someone who is responsible for another man's property. That's a steward. Someone who is responsible for another man's property. Very important that we understand that. We are in such a key position, ladies and gentlemen, as stewards. In fact, John Wesley once said, "When the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, he placed you here not as an owner. You are not an owner," he said, "but as a steward. And as such, he entrusted you for a season with goods of various kinds, but the sole property of these still rests in him. Nor can he ever be alienated. Can you ever be alienated from him? As you are not your own, but his, such is likewise all that you enjoy." Everything you have is his. None of this is yours. You are strictly, amen, everybody, a steward of what God has given you. Amen? Amen. We are stewards. One of the barometers we can use as to the health of this area of stewardship in our life is our attitude concerning giving to the work of the Lord. Notice I said it's the attitude toward giving, not the amount of our giving, but the attitude that's the barometer. The enemy comes in and says that it is the amount. It's always that way. The enemy always comes in and says it's the amount. That's not so. There are times in our lives, for example, when God blesses us by putting us in the place of the giver. And then there are other times in our lives when God places us by putting us into the place of the receiver. I'll never forget telling Bob Reinberger that when he had five children and we charged in those days for our Christian school, everybody had to pay. All five kids had to pay in those early days of school. And when Bob had those kids, he had all five kids and he wanted all five kids in school. And Bob lived at one time in Willard, Ohio, which is, you know, about 35 miles or thereabouts away from Clyde. And they had to drive back and forth, back and forth. And they were willing to do that because they wanted their kids in the Christian school. Roberta is one of those young ladies that came from that family. And he wanted those kids in the school more than anything else. And so he said to me, "Preacher, I don't have the money for all five." I said, "Bob, let me help you." It started way back then. We started getting help for folks who could not support their own family in the Christian school. And so after a while, he came up to me and he said, "You know, preacher, I feel really bad. Every year, somebody has to help me. Almost every single year, somebody has to help me again because I just don't have it." I said, "Bob, stop right there. Look at me and let me talk to you a minute. Here's God's economy. Let somebody help you now, but don't forget what somebody's done. And then down the road, I'm telling you, God is going to let you in on this, and somebody's going to need your help, and somebody's going to need Bob Reinberger's checks, and you're going to say, 'Hey, I finally have the money now to help somebody,' and then you'll have the money, and you'll help somebody, but you dare not forget what God does for you when He blesses you, when He meets your need, because down the road, He's going to give you the opportunity to give again." And you know what? Almost every year after that, he had his kids graduated. Bob has helped somebody in the Christian school. Isn't that wonderful? Now his wife, Judy, is now helping as well. She has given to the Christian school as well. You know, you plant the seed. You understand how it works, don't you? Listen, just because you need help today does not mean you're going to need help forever. Accept the help today. Sometime you will be the receiver. But sometimes you'll be the giver. But quit always trying to be the receiver. There are times when you need to learn, I need to be a giver, and I need to give of not just my abundance, but give of my necessity. Oh, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16, please. Verse number 17. It is not the amount, Roman numeral 1 in my notes, it is not the amount, but the attitude that's important. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I read of one pastor who perceived the whole concept of encouragement from a financial point of view. I haven't jotted it down. He announced one Sunday that he had made a new offering box. And people, today we're going to have the offering box up front and you're going to come by. And I built this box for the weekly collection for the tithes and offerings, and I'm going to claim that it's designed to encourage you as you give. The box is going to be an encouragement to you, he said, to become better stewards of your money. The new box, by the way, he explained, has some interesting features. When you drop a check or paper money in a large amount in that box, the box makes no sound at all. But if you put a quarter in, it tinkles like a bell. Put a dime in, it whistles. You put a penny in, it fires a shot. And when you walk by that box and you put nothing in, it takes your picture. I'm not sure that's the way to have a box of giving, collecting the tithes and offerings, but that's what he did. You know, George Mueller said this, and I like what he said. Here's a quote. He said, God judges what we give by what we keep. Y'all asleep? God judges what we give by what we keep. The need of and the use of finances can be one of the most divisive issues in a local church. I'm so thankful for our church. I really am. I am thankful for this church and the attitude that many of you have when it comes to the area of giving. This is probably one of the best churches I've ever seen that gives to others on a consistent basis. People walking up and handing a $50 bill to somebody who needs help, $25 or $100 or a check for $200. It's unbelievable the reports I get from people who say, "Preacher, you will not believe." And I had a lady tell me the other day, "You will not believe how much food we got when I was sick or when I was having the baby." It's just so wonderful. Well, I thank God for that. And because of that, every year, now you know here at our church, we are about $800,000 in debt for all of our properties, which are worth about $2.5 million, but we're about $800,000 in debt. And every year, we are responsible to pay back to the bank $72,000 of our monies collected back to the bank to pay for our mortgage payment. But what we have decided to do some years ago is we're going to put $500 a week extra on that, and so we put $78,000 back every single year to pay for the mortgage so we can pay the mortgage a little better and a little quicker and pay a little less interest. Now, that's good stewardship, amen? Now, also, when we got stuck with this building that we built back in 87, they didn't build the building right, didn't put all the air conditioners in right. I've told this story tons of times. And they didn't put the right furnaces in. In fact, when they came to inspect my building here, this beautiful building, the inspector from the state of Ohio said, "Who in the world put this junk in here?" And I said, "Junk in here? This is brand new stuff." He said, "This is junk, Pastor. The air conditioners don't match the furnace. The furnace don't even match the design. They don't even match the print." He said, "Where in the world did this guy get all this stuff?" I said, "I don't know, but I've already paid him for it." He said, "You shouldn't have. It's a mess. I cannot, I will not, I have to red tag this building. I cannot approve it." I said, "You've got to be kidding me. How much is it going to cost me?" He said, "It'll probably cost you $60,000 or $75,000 to get everything done." I said, "Additional?" He said, "Yes, sir, it will." I finally got it all done. It cost me about $75,000 to get everything replaced. We had to replace the air conditioners three times. The guy came back for his check. I said, "You're not getting a check. You took me twice. You're not getting me a third time." He never got his check. He wanted $35,000 for something he didn't do. He didn't get the check. He didn't get the check. That's wise stewardship on our part as a church. Anyway, so then I was stuck. I was about $75,000 in debt that I hadn't planned on and had no money. And so the good church people came and said, "Listen, we'll help you with that. I have some monies in a CD or IRA. I'll take that out, flip it over, give it to you. You can use it." We did that. We have been doing that since 1990. We've been doing that, to be honest. And we just paid off just a couple of weeks ago. I paid off just the other day because of the financial stewardship of our church and because of the blessings and the giving. Not only did we pay out $78,000 last year, but we paid off about $20,000 of those notes. And just the other day, I wrote a check for $56,000. And paid off a bunch of notes that we had. Isn't that wonderful? Now listen, what I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, this church has been blessed and God has blessed our church because of your faithful giving. It's important to understand. Martin Luther said, "I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all, but when I have given into God's hands, I still possess." Think about it. J.D. Rockefeller, and Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you a story about J.D. Rockefeller that maybe you did not know. I've already got the sermon done, and it's been studied, and it's a wonderful story. But J.D. Rockefeller said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." Amen? You see, you don't start tithing when you make money that's big. You start tithing when you make money that's little. And as you learn the principle of tithing, and I'm not talking about tipping God. I tell you, I am just so upset with folks who want to always just tip God. "Well, I don't have my tithe, but I'll tip God. I'll give God $10. Of course, I made $1,000, but I'm going to give God $10. No, you owe God $100 if you made $1,000. Amen? Come on, preach with me, please. The trouble is, too many people are spending money they haven't yet earned for things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. Ain't that the truth? That's what he said. Peter Marshall said this. I love what he said. Give according, listen to this, give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Ooh, wow. You know, if my income would be according to my giving, how would it look about your income? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Marshall was just right. Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. By the way, someone said, if you give what you do not need, it's not giving. If you give what you do not need, that's not giving. Let's go to God's Word for a few moments and look at and talk about this principle of tithing. We're going to use the story of Gideon as a roadmap, so to speak, to learn about what God is asking us in this very important area of stewardship. Judges chapter 7, 9 through 22. Remember, I have said that stewardship comes down to trust and lordship. In no other area of our life do we need to practice trust and lordship than in our finances. Let's look at what we learned. Number one, verse number 9, God's promise, his blessing. God promises his blessing. That's Roman numeral 2. God promises his blessing. Verse number 9, it came to pass at the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. God promises us his blessings, and one of the ways he promises us his blessings is through the principle of tithing. Now, I know you know the verse of Scripture. It'll be on the screen. But in your Bible, would you turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, 7, 8, 9. For I am the Lord, I change not. Don't you thank God that that's right there? Now, you like that verse, don't you? I am the Lord your God, and I change not. Come on, do you like that? Now, that's the same verse of Scripture, the same text that he's going to tell us that we ought to tithe. Come on, amen? He says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. I'm telling you what, I don't want to be cursed with a curse. That's really bad stuff. A curse is bad enough. To be cursed with a curse is terrible. And God said, you are cursed with a curse. Why? Because you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Don't promise you're going to do it, don't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, just tithe and give to God regularly, and God will bless your life. Verse 10 says, trust me. Let's look at verse 10. Bring me all the tithe in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there is not room enough to receive it. Wow. The promise goes forth for those who are willing to give to the Lord. We don't have time to go into the Old Testament tonight in that Old Testament law and defining what the tithe was that Malachi was speaking of, other than to say it was a tenth. A tithe is the tenth. It was to be the first fruits. In other words, the best. It did not belong to the children of Israel. Number three, there were other offerings expected. There were always other offerings expected above the tithe. God has promised to bless his children if they will give. This is not only an Old Testament principle, it's always also a New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And let's look at that New Testament principle in verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Over and over, the principle of God blessing his people is there, both in the Old and actually in the New Testament. We're going to look at some more scripture in just a moment. But let's first look at the second point, because there is a prerequisite to receiving the blessing. Now, I said it's not the amount, but the attitude that's important. And then I said number two, Roman numeral two, God blesses, promises his blessings. Roman numeral three, the blessings require action. Verse number 9, get up, go down against the camp. He said, get up, go down against the camp. Now, there are times when God says, I have delivered the camp into your hands. Now get up and go. Many times to receive the blessings of God in our lives, we must show action in our camp. Want some scripture for that? Quickly go with me. Follow me, please, on the screen. I'll go too fast to have you switch in your Bibles. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Do you see the principle? Give, and it shall be given. What about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What about Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How about the Old Testament? There's a wonderful promise in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Who are you trusting in? You trusted in your own skills, your own ability? Or are you trusting in God? God says, give and it shall be given unto you, shaken down, pressed together, running over. Would you like to have God do that to you? Hey, how many of you, come on quickly, how many of you would say, you know, preacher, that has already happened to me. I've been a giver to God, and God has pressed down, shaken together, and it's been running over. Can I see your hand? Don't be ashamed of that. How many of you say, hey, that's happened to me? Yeah, look at those hands. That's exactly right. And I'm not ashamed to say, that's exactly what God has done to me all my life. Blessings on top of blessings because of giving. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. What about James 2:26? I think he sums it all up. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You may have to have some action. You may have to have get up. Hey, why is it that you don't tithe? Now, I'm not looking at one person. I don't know who is and who isn't right now. But why is it that you're not? Why do you want to be a part of a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church and not tithe? Why? It's the thing to do. It's the Word of God. It brings blessings to your home. It brings blessings to your life. He'll meet all of your needs. The same God who said, I change not, says you ought to give to God. I preached one time before a share-a-thon around, share-a-thon invested in eternity, and God blessed in that share-a-thon so wonderfully well. People got the secret of investing in eternity. Got to thinking, when we say we trust in God, and then we get up and go down to the enemy's camp like the Lord told us to, then God truly can perform the miraculous in and through us. Our financial giving, once again, is a barometer of whether or not we are getting up and going. Our financial giving, are we getting up and are we going? That's important. Number three, actions are designed by God. Now look at these actions. They're designed by God. You know, tithing is not my idea. Tithing is not your idea. Giving to missions and offerings and so on, all these are God's ideas. This is God. This is God's plan. In fact, if you look at verse 14 and 15, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered, did you see that promise? Into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of his dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Actions are designed by God. That whole plan was not Gideon's idea. It was God's idea. When we say we trust in God, do we trust in God? When God asks us to do something, it may not always seem like the most conventional way to do it. You know, it seems like to me in the Bible that God had his men doing things very unconventional. Would you think you could defeat an army like Gideon tried to defeat this army? Man couldn't devise that plan. Man could not come up with that idea. Ladies and gentlemen, that was God's idea. And all that God looks for is simply, strictly obedience. Just do what I've asked you to do, and I'll bring you the blessing. Just get up and do the action. It's God, you see, that had the action. It's designed by God. Would you think, honestly, I mean, the leper didn't think so either. Do you think that a leper should go down to the muddy river of Jordan and dip seven times and his skin be healed? Do you think that's what it should be? Why don't the man of God, he said, come out and strike over me and pray for me and I'll be healed instantly? No, I got to go down to the dirty river of Jordan and dip seven times? Are you kidding me? Why do I have to do that? It seems so unconventional. Amen. Did it work? Skin came back like a little baby skin. But that was kind of unconventional. It goes back to God wanting the credit, not man. Sometimes God asks us to do some pretty unconventional things in our giving. It's so easy to try and talk ourselves out of giving, isn't it? It's easy. I can't afford it. If I had more, I would. Come on, speak to me. I already tithe, but I have my own standard. You ever heard that one? I have. I'm so far behind now, preacher, I don't know where to start. Start where you are. I kind of like to spread my tithe out. Anybody says that, they're not tithing. Because nobody knows what they're doing because they're spreading her out. And they're spreading her thin. I'll guarantee it. Sometimes God asks us to do some pretty unconventional things in our giving. It's so easy to say all these things. The enemy tries every rational and rationale in the book to confound our efforts to obey. Don't listen to those lies. If God is in it, he'll help you to be obedient to him. Let me ask you a question. Is it always easy to tithe? Look at me, everybody. You don't have to look down at your lap. I'm not scolding you. I'm preaching. Is it always easy to tithe? No, it's not. And it's the hardest thing to get started. But isn't it easier after you get started? Well, two people thought it was easier. Isn't it easier after you get started to tithe and give to God and you see God's blessings and all of a sudden, and then you say things like, well, why did I do this a long time ago? Why was I so slow to understand this? And you know, it's just like the devil. Brother Alan Holmes will be here Saturday. Hopefully he'll be here maybe sometime on the Sunday services in the evening perhaps. And he and his wife are moving in and going to be on staff. They're going to work with us starting the month of August. And the last 2 weeks, guess what the devil said to me? You have made a big mistake. We were short 2 weeks ago $1,500 in our budget. We have not been short all year. Last week we were short again $700 and some dollars. We haven't been short all year. For the last 2 years, we were $44,000 over the budget 2 years ago. We were $56,000 over the budget last year. And as of right now, we're $23,000 over the budget this year. But you let us get a school man to come in and start teaching school and taking the basketball and helping with the youth and hire that man. And the devil says, you're not going to make it. And I'm saying to the devil, well, yes, we are. God's people know how to do it. We're going to do it. But the old devil always has to rattle the cage, doesn't he? Always does. Always does. You see, it's not easy. A mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. And she said, "Sweetheart, I want you to take this dollar and this quarter, and we take it in your hand, and you put whatever you feel like you ought to put in the offering plate when the offering comes around. And mommy will check with you after the service." She said, "Okay." And so the offering was taken, but before the offering was taken, the man in the pulpit had said something like this: "God loves a cheerful giver." And so when the offering was taken, the little girl put her offering in. And after the service, the mother came to the little girl and said, "Okay, sweetheart, I want to see. What did you put in the offering? I'm just curious as your mama. What did you put in the offering plate? Did you put the dollar or the quarter?" And the little girl said, "Well, mommy, I was going to put the dollar, but that fella, you know, he stood up there just before the offering was taken, and he said, 'God loves a cheerful giver.'" And she said, "I just know that God knows I wouldn't be too cheerful if I gave a dollar, so I gave the quarter." Sounds like a lot of people I know. God will bless you, ladies and gentlemen, if you give to God. Is it easy to tithe? No. But listen closely to the last few points. Listen to this last point, number four, and I'll be finished. Or number five, I guess it is. What God designs, He also empowers. What God designs, He also empowers. Number five, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords, and pandemonium took place. And Gideon won. God calls us to be cheerful givers. He will never call you to do something He will not also empower you to do. If God is going to have you tithe and give offerings, He will empower you and give you what you don't think you have. I'll guarantee it. Does this mean that if we tithe, we'll never have to sacrifice financially? No. In fact, it may mean that it will cause us to sacrifice greatly to fulfill what He's asking me to do, just to tithe. You know what? That's okay. That's okay to sacrifice. It's good for us to deny ourselves every once in a while anyway in order for the kingdom of God to be built. Ladies and gentlemen, do we all understand something? We are not here just having church. We are building a part of the kingdom of God. Listen, you've got a big hand in this. You have a part in building the great kingdom of God. A little section of it right here at the Harvest Baptist Temple, right here in Clyde, Ohio, influencing hundreds of thousands of people through our ministries, our jail, our nursing home, our Christian school, our radio station in Clyde, Finley, Coshocton. My goodness, we're reaching all kinds of folks because of your giving. But if the giving changes, we can't reach them. Can't happen that way. We've got to be a giver. You know, when I say that God empowers us, it doesn't mean that money will begin to grow on trees in our front yards and we can just pick anything we want, anytime we want. In fact, if the tithing principle is correct, according to Malachi chapter 3, 10% is just our reasonable service. It has nothing to do with our gratitude for what He has done for us. When I say that God empowers us, I mean this, that He will provide, He will strengthen, He will equip, He will discipline and train us to make it through any lean times that we have to go through. I thought about Elijah. Remember Elijah? Some folks think he was awful, ruthless. He came to that little widow's house and she only had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. Remember that story? And she said, "Well, I don't have much. I just have a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil for me and my son, and then I guess we'll just die." And he said, "Boy, if I said this to somebody and you didn't have anything else to eat, and I said, well, make me a cake first." I can just imagine what kind of conversation everybody would be having on the internet tomorrow. "Do you believe what Pastor said? I mean, the guy's got brass. We're starving. We only have this meal left, and he wants me to bake him that cake. What kind of brassy guy is he? I thought he was a good man." Elijah was a good man. He said, "Make me the cake first." And she did. And the meal never ceased, and the oil never ceased, and God blessed. Amen. Obedience. Listen, God will meet your needs if you just trust Him. Just do what you know to do. You know, young people, moms and dads, teach your kids to tithe on the first job they have. If it's when they're six, you give them a job, you pay them an allowance, make them tithe. That's what my daddy did. I've tithed all my life. I've never missed a tithe, ever. First of all, when I was at home, my dad would kill me. So I had to. When I got married to Miss Rebecca Lewis, when I got married to her, he was still the church secretary treasurer. I was going to his church. I still had to tithe. I never have quit tithing. It's been a blessing all my life. It's a blessing to you too, isn't it? Now think about this. There was a knock on the door of a hut occupied by a missionary in Africa. Answering the door, the missionary found a little native boy holding a pretty large fish in his hands. And the boy said, "Reverend, you taught us to tithe, so here it is. I brought you my tithe." Okay, this big fish. As the missionary gratefully took the big fish, he questioned the young lad a little further. He said, "If this is your tithe, where are the other nine fish?" Oh, the little boy said, beamed as he smiled, "Oh, they're still back in the river. I'm going back to catch them now." He had it right. Come on, amen? Amen. There come the musical instruments. We're going to close. We learn lordship and trust from Gideon. We also learn four principles we can put into the area of stewardship. It's based in the area of financial giving. They're the last four things on your notes if you took them down. I said, first of all, it is not the amount, but the attitude that is important. And then the next four are the four principles. Did you get them? God blesses, God promises His blessings. God promises His blessings. Two, blessings require action. Number three, actions are not designed by you. Actions are designed by God. Number four, what God designs, He also empowers. Have you been robbing God? Anybody in this building been robbing God? What is God speaking to you now? Have you been obedient to Him? Have you been trusting Him enough to tithe? I mean legitimate tithe. Are you leaning on or are you leaning against? And maybe we ought to remember what Peter Marshall said. Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Don't ever, ever, ever cheat God. He knows. Do your best. Put forefront of your best effort there. Just do what you know God wants you to do. Let's stand together, please.